Good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. My name is Late Mailman. You can find me on Twitter at Late Mailman. Our podcast is at FCTTB_podcast. And, well, normally with me is former legend at former_legend. But, well, he's missing this week. I'm wondering whether it's got something to do with the little wager that we had a couple of weeks back about whether or not Phil Smythe actually played for the Sydney Kings in the 90s. The answer, of course, was yes. And I won that bet. The wager was that he would walk nude down Pitt Street. So he's been making himself a little bit scarce lately. We should probably find out where he is. So, time to give him a call.
Hoodie! What a game, mate, eh? Two in a row, brother. You beauty!
Are you talking about Origin? That's tomorrow, you loser.
Isn't this going... When's this going to where?
Well, given that it's the Origin preview, I was planning on before the game.
I was just taking a punt.
Yeah, I was just telling our listeners before I called you about our little wager about Phil Smythe the other week, so it seems that your punts really aren't working for you at the moment.
me and Clive are just buying some beer. I'm going to his place to watch it tomorrow.
Oh, really? That sounds lovely and cosy. Thanks.
Have you seen his flatmate?
No, he's never invited me over, to be honest.
The Georges all stood as one and gave her a 10.
All right, good. It sounds like a fun night for you then.
Is it too presumptuous to buy champagne now?
I don't know. We'll get into that in the Origin preview. But before...
not about the Origin. I'm talking not about the Origin. I'm talking about his flatmate.
Right, I see. Very good. Hey, before we start, let's talk about a couple of things from this week. Before we get into the Origin preview. First one, the two Aussie kids, Bernard Tomic, Nick Kyrgios, carrying on like a couple of pork chops at Wimbledon. Discuss.
Okay, I'll start it with just, I think this is a pretty telling statement. I never cheer against Aussies, mate, in any sport, right?
Yeah.
But geez, I find it hard to cheer for these two.
What about if Dawn Fraser was still swimming? Would you be cheering for her after today?
Oh, what about her, hey?
Yeah.
I think the next flag she'll be stealing us from the Ku Klux Klan, but anyway.
I was thinking I'd hope to see her in the synchronized swimming and maybe lose that by... no.
She'd come up a treat in the synchronized swimming too, just quietly.
But fair income, just quickly on the Dawn Fraser thing, what did they expect? Why on earth would they call her for a comment on Nick Kyrgios, who she, let's face it, she probably hadn't even heard of before this week, unless they wanted a headline. And did you hear what she said? She said, so he went out there tanking and just tanking all over the place. And I was like, you haven't even heard of the word tanking before today.
I think it's Dan Ganane who loves to refer to it as Rolodex journalism. And that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. But less said about that, the better. But the two boys, do we put it down to immaturity or do we put it down to petulance or what do we do?
I'm surprised no one's picked up on this. I've heard from a real good source that Tomic is whinging and it's more to do with the fact that Tennis Australia has stopped funding his sister.
Yes, I did hear that one, actually.
Now, no one seemed to jump on that since this is all blown up. I'll guarantee you. This is what it's all about. Well, that's his motivation.
Yeah.
She's 23, and Bernard's got enough money. If she's still any good, Bernard can fund her.
Yeah, that's true. If he wants to drive his flash cars and that, mate, just drive a Corolla for a couple of years.
Or a Camira.
Or a Camira, yes, Australia's own.
And as far as Kyrgios is concerned, I don't mind an on-court, on-field blow-up. So I can cop that. I can cop the whole smashing the racket into the ground and that. I actually quite like that. But the petulance about not refusing to play, I think it was in either the first or the second round until the match referee came out, that's where he lost me. And I called him a flog on Twitter.
Yeah.
And one of my followers, a tennis coach, I think he's found it at Matt in Alice. What up, Matt? Matt sort of gave it to me and said, he's 20-year-old, what do you expect? Blah, blah, blah. And whilst I know everyone's not like Pat Rafter, I understand that, just a little bit of that would be nice.
Yeah, I'm not too keen on this whole he's 20, what do you expect defence. I think that's being trotted out a little bit too often. You just expect him to be a decent bloke, do you not? Like, immaturity or not, you know, I've been immature in my life, but I'd like to think that through that all, I've you know, maintained a little bit of, you know, civil niceness with people.
And just to get some grounding on where these two are at, both Bernard and Nick have won the same amount of majors as me and you.
Yeah, absolutely. Between us, we've got duck eggs.
Yeah, we've got zero. I think there's a little bit too much money. It's all too easy. And unless it's in your guts, it just doesn't seem like there's that massive motivation to win, especially with Bernie.
Yeah, I think Kyrgios has got a chance to sort of redeem himself in next month's Davis Cup, so we'll see how that goes. Tomic, not so much, but we'll have to wait and see whether they can redeem themselves over the next sort of 6 to 12 months. But
according to Dawn Fraser, Tomic will be on a boat or something.
Yeah, I'm not even touching that one. Speaking of Origin, just a quick one. We won't spend too long on this one because we've got to get into the preview, but did you see the 60-minute story on Alex MacKinnon on Sunday night?
Yeah, I did, and can I divide it into two sections? First of all, I thought the story was beautiful.
Yeah.
Take away from obviously the second part of what we're about to talk about, I thought Alex and Tegan and his mum and his dad and surprise, surprise, Wayne Bennett came up looking like absolute superstars, and God bless all of those, and Tarek Sims for that matter. Corbin Sims. All of those came up looking like absolute superstars, and more power to them. As far as the Smith thing is concerned, mate, look, they were probably not the best comments made by a person on the field, but they were taken a little bit out of context, Woody, I reckon. Let's face it, Cameron Smith's a competitor. Right?
Yeah.
And we know what he was doing, and we see blokes go down all the time. Some of them get stretchered off, and they're fine. Cameron Smith wouldn't have made those comments if he hadn't known the extent of those injuries. I can assure you that.
Oh, absolutely not. I've been saying all along, I think the main thing out of all this is that nothing good could possibly... Sometimes when I say things or write things or whatever, I just stop for a moment and say, can anything good come of this? I don't think anything good could come from the inclusion of the Cameron Smith angle. However, in saying that, I haven't walked a mile in Alex's shoes, so perhaps for him that was some sort of event or something, and I think of all people, he's probably entitled to one, but I don't think anything good can come of it from anyone else.
No. I don't know, maybe I'm hoping for a bit of a miracle here in itself, in that I hope Cameron and Alex can come together in some way, in some form. I do think Cameron does have to go and visit him. He is the Australian captain. Alex was the Australian juniors captain from memory.
Yeah.
And I think there's a little bit of synergy there in itself, let alone the fact that they're footballers, let alone the fact that just like the Australian captain in cricket, the Australian captain in footy is supposed to be the top office.
Yeah, yeah, that's very well said. Now, before we wrap this one up, just quick one-sentence answer. Will this affect Smith tomorrow night?
Not at all. Smith's too professional for that, mate. Yeah. I mean, he shut himself off from Channel 9, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But it won't affect him, mate.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Now, listen, a few team changes... Ennis in for Farah. Oh, you'd say it's 95% across the line. It hasn't been announced just yet as we're recording this. I can't see Farah playing yourself.
No, there's still some people saying it's still possible, mate. I would have thought a broken hand. Get away from the selfishness of trying to be there. I think for the team's sake, I'd like to think that Robbie will put his hand up and his good hand and probably say that he won't play. Broken hands, mate, as far as a dummy half's concerned, that's bad.
I mean, Farah hangs his hat on how many tackles he can make in an Origin game. You know, not not in so many words, but he's
yeah.
he's shown before how well he can do. And mate, if he's one handed, no. Nah. Queensland, nah. Slater out, Inglis to fullback, Gagai to wing, Chambers to centre. Your thoughts on that one quickly?
I'm scared. I'm scared that Inglis is a fullback. I prefer him in at centre.
Yeah.
I get back to when we spoke to Joel a couple of weeks ago, and I said I like that the Morris boy marks up on Inglis. I think he does a good job on him.
Yeah.
Now it's like Inglis has got a bit of a license, and I'm a bit worried about that, to be honest.
Well, he played very well there, the one game he played there a year or two ago. So we'll see. Josh Papali in for Josh Maguire.
Yeah. Obviously, Papali's there to fight fire with fire a little bit with Clemmer, would you reckon?
Yeah, I'd like to think that Josh Papali will go missing in a Dave Taylor kind of way.
I'd like to think that too.
Well, you know, whether it happens or not, I don't know, but that's the way I'm imagining it anyway.
Yeah, I'm glad there's no Dylan Napper. I think they missed one there.
Yeah, I agree. Now, listen, are you sad about the, you know, the lead-up not having too much controversy, baiting, antagonism? What do you reckon?
Well, take away from Channel 9's attempt with 60 Minutes
yeah.
and G-ing up Cameron Smith, it's been a little bit quieter this time, hasn't it? Every interview I've seen... Oh, by the way, credit where credit's due. I think Corey Parker's done a great job doing all the talking for Queensland this week.
He's done all the talking for everybody.
Yeah, but do you know the thing I've noticed is that everyone they interview has been nothing but complimentary to the other mob.
Yeah.
To a point where you go, I'm getting sick of this.
Yeah. Hopefully it'll explode. Oh. So to that end, let's get into the preview. Game 3, the winner. Mm. Who will it be?
My heart, along with Jimmy Hooper's heart, says New South Wales.
And your head?
My head says Queensland, but I'm going to go off my heart, New South Wales.
Yeah, so I'm almost done an about face on my game 2 stuff. I'm hoping that it doesn't come and sort of jinx me like, you know, it worked for me last game. Hopefully it doesn't work against me this game. Game 3 winner, New South Wales for mine. The score will be 2014. What do you think?
17-16.
Wow. And who's kicking the field goal?
Go to the next question and I'll tell you.
I was thinking Aaron Woods. Game, in a Matt Dunning Super Rugby kind of way.
Wasn't that a good field goal?
Game changer in Game 3 will be?
Trent Hodkinson with a field goal.
Lovely, I like it. I've said Michael Ennis. I'm just going a bit left field because I think if he does play, he's going to have a point to prove.
I like it, yeah. And he's a little bit more mature this time, Woody. I think he'll go pretty good.
Well, yeah, I mean, last time he played was 2011, I think. So,
yeah.
You know.
I like the fact that we, as a state, get to cheer for Mick Ennis because there's something about him that I'd love to play with.
I've always quite liked him. He's a good guy off the field and he's a competitor on there. He's a pest, but... Who the hell isn't, really?
He's our pest now.
Man of the match will be?
Paul Gallen in his final origin.
Interesting. I've gone Mitchell Pearce because I think as well, point to prove sort of thing. I know that they say that every game 3, but yeah, I think he'll rip in.
I just think that perhaps Laurie's done a job on those two and said, I don't need you to play out of your skin. And that's why I don't think maybe he won't be man of the match. But anyway, we'll see.
Yep. No, I like that as well. Man of the series.
Josh Dugan.
Snap.
What do you reckon?
Yeah, Josh Dugan.
Yeah.
Dud of game 3 will be?
Dane Gagai.
Yep. Yeah, I like it. I've gone Josh Papali for what I said
Massive situation for a bloke to debut.
Oh, absolutely it is. I've gone Josh Papali in the hope that he does do the Dave Taylor, so we'll see.
Yep.
First try scorer?
Brett Morris. And I'm dead set going to put the house on it.
It's got to be Darius Boyd, right? He's gone a whole series without being first try scorer. I don't think that's happened before.
That might be true, actually.
Last try scorer?
Morgan.
Yeah.
Morgan to square the game up.
Yeah, fair enough. I've gone Josh Dugan. I think he's going to explode at one point. We'll see when it is. But Greg Inglis will do the Goanna how many times?
Once, I believe. Yeah. That's what I feel.
Yeah, I'm thinking once as well. I'm thinking Boyden Inglis has got a... Or you know what? Like a sneaky Thurston Inglis. Oh, God, I'm scared of Greg Inglis.
Oh, no. Oh, no, mate, so am I. I'm hoping he does the go-enter once and then they rule it a no-try.
That would be funny. But he's one of those guys, isn't he? When he scores, he scores. He doesn't seem to. He doesn't seem to have too many questionable ones. And
well, that try that he scored down in Melbourne, he didn't do the go-enter, but that might be the whole Adam Goods thing coming back to haunt him down in Melbourne. So
maybe. So on a level of 1 to 10 then, we spoke about this just briefly before, on a level of 1 to 10, what kind of suck-up job will be done by Channel 9 to Cameron Smith?
I'll say an 11.
Yeah, if Clive's with you, tell him that was a good one. I like that one. I've added an extra zero and gone 100. I think there's going to be dozens of mentions and allusions and all sorts of stuff to Cam Smith and how he's one of the great statesmen of the game and this and that.
Yeah.
And, put it this way, if Rabs gets given liners to do for the voice and stuff, he'll get given a few Cam Smith liners, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
The crowd has a capacity of 52,500 at Lang Park, or Suncorp as it's known these days. What's your number?
52,376.
Oh, if we're playing Price is Right rules, well, then you're fucked because I've got 52,380. So you've only got... You've only got like three or four before I knock you off. So that's good. Let's do some unders overs before we wrap this up for this week. Kickoff time has been a very debatable one over the first two games. I think we set the bar at 8:12 last time. This time we've gone 8:16, under or over?
Under by a minute.
So 8:15, you reckon?
Yes.
I'm going to go overs. I'm going to go 8:17.
Yeah. Saying that, I always think that they're never right on the 5-minute intervals. It's always some weird time.
Oh, yeah. It's getting ridiculous, particularly when they list it as 8 o'clock on the program and on NRL.com and all that. But anyway.
Do you think it'll be the most watched show all year on TV?
Yes. Yes, I do.
You think it'll outrate the Melbourne one?
Yeah, I think it will.
But then what will happen to all the Melbourneites' theories on the MCG being the sole responsible factor for us all tuning in?
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe the Melbourneites will not watch out of, you know, fear of ruining that spectacle, that bizarre that they call
those,
it.
Those numbers, yeah.
Anyway, number of... okay, so there's 8 starting Queenslanders that are over 30 years old. Under or over 5, how many will be back in 2016?
Unders. I reckon only 4.
Do you?
Yeah.
I haven't thought too much about this, but I've gone overs.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking straight away, what, that's Kronk, Smith, Parker. Parker, he's over 40, isn't he? Does he count as two? Yeah. I don't know. Thurston will be there, Kronk will be there, Smith will be there, Park will be there. It's 4 straight away. I'll find another 2 later. That's all right.
I don't think Park will be there. Anyway, I don't think Friday won't be there. Anyway, we'll go through them later.
Now, how many will be drinking Horlicks and having a good lie down at half time, do you reckon?
Every one of them.
Yeah, very good.
And probably watching reruns of the midday show or something.
What about the number of times Mal Meninga will make a game-changing decision, under or over 0.5?
I'll say under.
Yeah,
all his decisions will be based around pies, I reckon.
I'm thinking unders as well because I think 9 will be too busy blowing smoke up Cam, but we'll see. How many seats will be full of Queensland fans urine by full time, over or under 1,200?
1,200.
Jesus. I'm gonna go under. I think that's a bit of a ridiculous number. I think it'll be more sort of 900. 900.
Just sitting there squatting, real classy like.
This is an interesting one because, of course, the Ashes start tomorrow night as well, which is just tantalising. It really is.
Yes.
So by 10 o'clock, how many Australians will be looking for new batteries for their TV remote, over or under 4 million?
Oh, well, every one of us, mate.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I've got it from Clive. He's got some set up. He said that's why I'm going over there. He said we'll be able to watch both games, so I'll be interested to see how that all works.
Yeah, I don't really, not really interested, to be honest.
And I'll tell you what, I'm going to tweet a photo of his setup during the night, so stand by for that.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I'm in primary school again, and I'm the only kid in the class that didn't get invited. So,
mate, I'll just say one word to you, Brookvale.
I'll say one back to you. Well, two. Yvonne Whitehand.
You've got to let go of that.
So, yeah, there's the Ashes. Do you know when the first ball is? I think coverage starts at around 8. Do you know when the first ball's going to be? Because I'm just...
I've heard coverage 7:30, first ball 8.
Oh, so we may well be able to get to see the first over before the 8:17 kickoff, is that?
It's possible. Hey, I watched the... Don't ask me why. I turned on to the Tour de France last night. Did you see the crash?
I heard about it. Pile up of 20-odd. Oh, wow. I saw some stills of it. It looked pretty... It kind of looked like something on the M4 at about 8:10 of a morning. I'm surprised Sando wasn't reporting on it, to be honest.
It looked like every interstate truckie's wet dreams.
Yeah.
There was bikes everywhere, mate. It was unbelievable. And, mate, do you see some skin left on the road? Them blokes are tough. I'll give them one thing.
Yeah, I reckon there'd be a Sydney driver out there who's probably started a Facebook page. I'm a fan of the Tour de France crash. Present company accepted.
You can leave that much skin on the road when you're off your chops.
Speaking of on the road, where the hell are you, by the way?
Well, we're just... I don't want to give away the suburb because that will tell people where Clive lives, and he's a very secretive person. So we're at Camperdown Bottle Shop. I mean, some bottle shop.
Okay. I've got a clue as to where Clive lives after nearly 12 months, but there you go. Hey, look, we'll be in touch on Twitter over the next couple of days.
Back to normal next week, eh?
See you next week.
All right, Tiger.